Today is Wednesday, October the 1st, 1980. This is Connie Rehn interviewing Andrew Kemp for the Castroville Public Library Oral History Project B. We're interviewing at Mr. Kemp's home about a half a mile or just outside the city limits of Castroville on the lower Lacoste Road. Mr. Kemp, when were you born?
May the 7th, 1897.
1897, so you're 83
years old.
And where were you born?
Here, at the end of the town.
Oh, this happened?
This, my home.
Who were your parents?
Benjamin and Mary Kemp.
Benjamin Kemp and Mary?
Benjamin Kemp, and her name was Mary Keller.
Keller, Kemp. Okay. I understand your family was in politics. Your grandfather,
yes.
And that was Joseph Kemp?
Joseph.
What was his capacity as a...
Well, he was county officer. He was a county clerk, district clerk. It was all in one office, I think, at that time.
Uh-huh.
And I think he was county church, too. As long as he was living, until he got sick and couldn't have the office anymore.
And then his son,
August,
is that August? That would be your uncle, huh? Mm-hmm. Benjamin. Well, how many brothers and sisters did Benjamin have?
Who?
Benjamin.
Got three brothers and two sisters.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and how many were in your family?
My family was just three. Had one sister, one brother.
That's Martha?
Martha.
Okay, I understand that Joseph Kemp, your grandfather, I just read in a paper the other day where the county of Medina hired him and Joseph Kuran to be teachers in Castroville. They were, I guess, the first public school teachers.
Well, he was a school teacher and he came up from Europe. France and German, but he already could speak English and Spanish already too, and even Latin.
Do you know where he came from in Alphys? What town?
Well, I can tell you the name of the town, but I think Martha could tell you. She's got a map and he showed me one, but I don't remember anymore. Mm-hmm. But it's close to Strasbourg somewhere. No, close to Niederranzen, Oderranzen.
Well, that's Niederranzen and Oderranzen, where a lot of people from Castroville and Indiana came.
It wasn't that town, but a town you come from was a little, was pretty close to the Niederranzen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I know your family's also always been very active in the St. Louis Church. Which one of you, your father was a trustee, wasn't he, Benjamin?
Yeah, he was a trustee. He was president of the St. Louis Society at one time, more than one time, I don't know. And my mother was president, too, of the St. Anne Society.
Okay, so your mother was president of the Altar Society, and your dad was president of the Men's Society. Now, talking about St. Louis Society... Castroville and St. Louis Church has always celebrated St. Louis Day because it's the patron saint of our church. And this has always been celebrated ever since the town was founded. And we now have a huge celebration. In the early days, it was mainly a church celebration. From the youngest you can remember, what was St. Louis Day like when you were a little boy?
Well, I don't exactly remember what that was.
Okay, what place was it celebrated at?
Well, they say they, I can't remember that, but my mother and dad always say they had a picnic down here in Dietrich's Grove. They had a little platform there, I think. They were dancing, too, sometimes down there. But I can't remember it.
Okay, that was around 1890. I have a write-up on that. That would be before your time.
I can remember Badgett from around 1905, I guess. And there, around 1912.
Okay.
Sometimes they had a close to church there, next to the rectory, the old rectory.
Uh-huh.
And one time I remember, that was around 1912, they had a, there were a Dr. Burkitt.
Has his office.
Has his office now, that belonged to
The St. Louis Society.
St. Louis Society, that building there at that time.
Okay, did they ever
and
go?
And then later on they had it down there, the Burness Garden, they called it that time there, and now it's Kennedy Park.
Okay, when they had St. Louis Day, they started out the day how?
They had a work left to do now.
No, but I mean, did they have a mass? And
yeah, they had it, they usually had it on St. Louis Day that time, on the 25th of August. The real St. Louis Stadium. Yeah. Well, later on, they had a close Sunday to the 25th, like they have now.
Right. Okay. What I'm trying to establish, what part did the St. Louis Society have? Were they the main participants of this celebration, or did the whole parish?
The whole parish, like a St. Louis Society and St. Anne Society, you know, some women folks were cooking and made everything ready, of course, the man folks put up tables and benches so they could eat.
Okay.
That's all I can remember.
Okay, now let's go, maybe when you were about a young man, 15, 20, or when you got married, where did they hold St. Louis Day then?
Where they had it then? Uh-huh. Well, yeah, the Word of God.
Word of God. Well, when they held it down there, did they sell the meal to the public, or did everyone just have a picnic?
Well, I think at first they had just a picnic. They were, all the parishioners brought their lunch, I think. That's what I heard.
But when in your day?
Later on, they sold the meals, you know, the women folks cooking stuff like they do now. And of course, I don't think they have had barbecue at that time, you know, like they have now. But they have beer, you know, mm-hmm. soda water and stuff like that. And they have a celebration, a good time all day long, you know, mm-hmm. all the families together.
Well, in church, what type of celebration did they have with the church?
Well,
before
they usually have the high mass in the morning, and the afternoon, they have, that time every Sunday they had vespers. And there was a whole bunch of priests here from San Antonio, from the neighborhood, you know. Mm-hmm. And they had a good time too, they got it, you know, it was right.
When now after church, did everybody, like when they still held it at the St. Louis Barine Hall over there, did everybody go over there after church for the party, or was it just the men of the St. Louis Society?
No, as far as I can remember, the women folks were there too when they had celebration. Mm-hmm. Of course, when they had their meeting, each one had their own meeting. Men folks had their meeting, and of course, the women folks, they usually had their meeting in church.
Well, would they have meetings on the day of St. Louis Day?
No.
That would just be their regular days.
Yeah. On the regular day when they're meeting.
Okay. Another thing people have told us is that on St. Louis Day, everybody would come from all over the county.
Oh, yeah. They come from Johannes, Dillon, from everywhere. You know, La Crosse belonged to Chester.
At that time?
Yeah. Until 1911.
Yeah. Well, did they come for just the party, or did they come for everything? The church?
No, they come for the church celebration, the party. At night, they usually had a dance in Vernon's Hall. And then they come from everywhere.
It seemed like people always liked to come to Castroville for dancing.
Although the moves to San Antonio years ago, you know, they usually come on that day, they come here with Castroville.
Do you think that Castroville's always had a reputation for having a good time then?
They always had a good crowd.
How often, now, not only on St. Louis Day, but how often did they have dances here in Castroville?
No, otherwise. You know,
yes, other than St. Louis Day.
Oh, they have several dances, like 4th of July, Christmas, and several times a year, you know, they have big dance.
Who were the big dance halls that you remember?
They had an old hall that time. But later on it burned down, but they lived in that
Oh, it burned down?
Oh,
not
burning? Oh, you can't remember that.
I remember Trackhassers burning down, but I didn't
Well,
remember.
Around the same time in Vernon Garden, that one burned down.
Oh.
I guess it was around in the 20s.
Mm-hmm. 30s.
Exactly. That's a Vernon Garden, usually two times a year, like 4th of July, Christmas.
And what other dance halls were there?
And the Vernon Hall was Thunderstore. The build that belonged to. I think to the Vernon at that time, since I can remember. Thomas Stewart.
Yes, Philip Vernon.
Around 1905 or 6, Philip Vernon owned the place. He built the upper store and made a dance hall. Mm-hmm.
Did you dance up there?
I never danced very much.
Oh, you weren't a dancer?
No. I never danced, except surprise party.
Well, my mother was telling me about all these surprise parties. That was a big thing around here.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah.
If you didn't have one on your birthday, would you be disappointed if you didn't throw
one? Well, it wasn't just birthday parties. I don't know. They had surprise parties everywhere around here, you know, years ago. From one place to the other. I got the sounds.
Do you remember any particular party like that, a surprise party? Did anybody ever give you one?
We had one here, I don't know what year it was, but it must have been before First World War I, we had a surprise party here.
In your house? Who was it for?
Well, just for the family, so the neighbors could come and dance here.
Oh, well, who called it together? Your wife or what? Are you?
No, that was, we had surprised. We were surprised, you know, we didn't even know anything about it. Not supposed to know anything about it.
Well, who planned it, though?
Well, they had, like, the Grove band and all kinds of little bands, you know. They all could play a little music, you know. Violin, guitar, and flute.
This is the Groves.
The Grove band.
Do you know can you name the Groves that were in that band? Can you name those Groves that played in that band?
Well, Grove boys, I think all of them played the instrument. John and Albert, and I think Henry, Samuel, they were eight brothers, you know.
Who was that for Henry?
Robert and Charlie. They were eight brothers, and they all could play two instruments.
And they were all brothers?
They were eight brothers.
I've heard about this Grove band.
There's some other song the Beeligers know to play too, like Fritz Beeliger and all that.
So they just wanted to have a party. They would call everybody up and say, "We're going to go to
surprise here or there, you know." Dance there until then they have beer too.
So it's just an excuse to have a good time.
Prohibition, you know?
Yeah. This is an excuse to have a good time.
After Prohibition, there weren't so many parties anymore because we didn't have beer anymore.
Oh.
Except home beer.
Yeah. Huh. Well, what else did y'all do for fun when you were young besides these parties?
Well, like that now. I don't remember anymore.
And well, did you ever play baseball?
Baseball, we had baseball every Sunday, really.
Were you a ball player?
No, I never played.
You weren't a ball player? That's really surprising. With all of your grandsons and sons as good of players as they are.
Living now. But I always watched the games.
You weren't an umpire either?
No. Well, I was umpire once. Right here, that had been down here in Spindletop, like Ernie Reen and that. The bunch from the down around here. And I was umpire in a few games once, but I played too on a few games, but I never was a regular player.
A regular player. Did you do anything else? Like, did they have a lot of horse races around here?
Well, yeah, they had horse races around here. Up here, Louisville plays, and the chorus plays at the other racetrack. Over here, Conrad Field, Ronald Keller lives down the head alone. No, they've just made up a racetrack to run with.
Was that big around here? Was it?
Well, just local people.
I mean, did they do it often? Did they like?
Well, they usually had it several times, once or twice a year. But I don't remember anymore. Who sways always they were. Moody Holler had one. And Louis Burrell had the race. Okay.
Well, what has your occupation been all your life? Have you?
Farming.
You've been a farmer all your life. Huh? And when did you get married then?
Well, I got married in 1931.
Okay. So you were about
34 years old.
Oh, yeah. And you married?
Lucille Biediger.
Lucille Biediger. Okay. And you have how many children?
Three
children. You want to name them for me?
Gerald and Mark. No, I only have two.
Two?
I have three brothers.
Three brothers in your family, but you only have
two
boys.
Two brothers. One brother and one sister.
Yeah, and so
we
now
have two boys,
Gerald and Mark. Okay, and they all live right around here, close to you. Well, when you got married, did you live here in this house too?
Yeah.
So you've lived here all your life?
All my life, 83 years, over 83 years, same house.
Do you remember your wedding?
My wedding?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
What day of the week did you get married?
I think it was Tuesday. That time they all married Tuesday.
You know why they get married on Tuesday?
I don't know. Everybody married on Tuesday except, I know, 1 year, that was the 1950s, so many marriages in November they had that year. And sometimes they had three of them in one day.
Huh.
But, the main day was Tuesday.
So when, do you remember anything about your wedding? Like
Well, we had a wedding down at my in-law, Albert Peterson.
That's where you had the party?
The party.
And how long did the party last?
All day, they were married, not like now, they were married in the morning.
About what time?
About 9, 10
about
o'clock. Then they had a dinner at noon, good. Like now, and a beer and stuff like that. And then in the evening, went on a honeymoon.
Did you go on a honeymoon?
Oh, I went to. We went to Columbus.
To Columbus, huh?
Pass, Del Rio, and come back again.
You must have had a pretty good car then.
Well, we had an old Chevy.
Did you have a big wedding?
Well, just. Not like now. That time, only the closest relatives and probably spent two or three.
Well, like for instance, what kind of a dinner did your in-laws serve for that party?
Well, I don't remember. But it was a nice dinner. Usually chicken or turkey or something like that. All kinds of eats.
I don't remember that much about it. Well, that's okay. So you never were, now it's always been tradition that in St. Anne's Society, when a girl gets married, her mother or her mother-in-law usually puts her into the society as a member. Is that also a tradition with St. Louis Society?
No.
Your wife was also active in St. Anne's, wasn't she?
Yeah, this was present at one time. She belonged to the side of all the time she was married.
Was she active in at the St. Louis Day? What did she work? What was her job?
She was boss over the kitchen along several years. So she helped work every year as long as she could.
But she was in charge of the kitchen.
Yeah,
I remember that.
She was in charge of the kitchen for a few years, I know.
Yeah. You don't remember then when they started selling that meal like we do now, when it kind of got like that?
You mean the dinner?
Yeah, where we started selling it to outside instead of having a picnic.
That's quite a while already.
As long as you can remember,
yeah,
it was like that?
I guess about 50 years. 45, 50 years.
That would be about when you got married. But
since 1930 or before that.
Before that, huh?
Well, where the one was thick now, as it is now, maybe. Didn't make $50,000, $250,000 like
no, we used to make $5,000-$6,000.
Yeah.
At the most.
Not even that.
Yeah. Tommy Hogue was telling us the other day that they used to get together and make the sausage overhead in Staddy's place.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
A dance place?
No, at old man Albert Hogue's place.
Oh, yeah, they made them. I helped several years. And they made them down in the Vernon Garden.
But he thinks that they made them down there at Hogue's first.
Well, they did too. But I never helped.
You never helped there. But they always made
us. Made them all sometimes over a dance place. You know.
At the meat market?
Put them in the freezer. Oh, not in the freezer, in the picture of the poison until something.
Mm-hmm.
They made them on Saturday afternoon, morning.
Well, they make this sausage for St. Louis Day. Did they make this sausage as long as you can remember?
No, I don't think they made. They might have made some, but that didn't help. But I think they had sausage still every time since I can remember.
Well, now in your family, did you always make sausage?
You mean
just for home here?
Oh yeah, we made sausage every year since I can remember.
And did you go the whole bit with killing the hogs, and what did you make out of the hog besides the sausage and with all the stuff that was left?
Well, we got lard, few cans of lard. That time the hogs were fatter than the mouth. You usually have a can of pure lard all the time. So we had blood sausage and sausage, liver sausage sometimes. All that stuff.
Did you make the shtetl pie?
Yeah, we did. Made that too.
And what about the gallery?
Gallery.
And
that was the women folks' job.
Oh, they would take the things into the kitchen and cook that then. And what was the head cheese called? The Schwarzmager.
Schwarzmager.
Did you make that?
Sometimes.
So you used. Well, now, and then you would take the intestines and make the casings for the sausage.
All clean the casings.
So there wasn't much thrown away then when you got through with the haul.
Except not good one.
The dogs ate the bones, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you think that this using up everything of this hog when they kill, do you think that that's an Alsatian trait, that the people just were taught not to waste anything?
I think so. And everybody made sausage every year. Their own sausage, butchered the hog themselves.
Yeah.
Nowadays, they take the hog to the butcher shop and have it killed up so it could make sausage both of them. At that time, they made their own sausage, killed their own hogs, made their sausage themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the neighbors went together and helped each other.
Yeah.
It took a whole day and sometimes a day and a half to butcher a hog and make sausage and everything.
Also, we have been wondering if harissa has always been eaten here. That seems to be a food that we serve in Castroville that not too many other places serve.
No, years ago I never heard anything about harissa when I was a little boy. That's coming later, I don't know.
I wonder when that started.
I don't know. Well, I guess about 50, 60 years ago. But then when I was a little boy, I never heard anything about harissa.
Y'all never had harissa
at
all? In fact, the old timers,
the
old timers were probably scared of eating raw meat in the old days because of no refrigeration.
In the last 50 years,
were there any certain foods that your mother cooked all the time that you think were Alsatian? That
sauerkraut and stuff
like
that. Everybody, nearly every family made their own sauerkraut. Just fine, they had gardens. There's cabbage, you know, and sauerkraut.
How about turnip kraut?
Turnip. All kinds of stuff.
Well, did your mother say cook the same thing every Monday and the same thing every Tuesday or not?
Well, not every day the same, but we have bacon and eggs most of the time in the morning. Bacon and ham, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I want to change the subject now, Mr. Kemp, and ask you. Do you remember anybody dying in your family, like when you were younger, and how did they hold the funeral and the what did they do with the body before they took it to church?
Well, they usually kept it at home until it was ready to burn.
Uh-huh. Did you ever have anyone die in your home?
No, the first one died was my mother, and she was already. I don't say children and Herbert. First year or two when they do go with this.
About what year was that?
Huh?
About what year did she die?
35.
35. Well, in the old days before the undertakers, did they hold wakes for the dead?
Well, they kept them at home until they burned them.
But
and they got them in a hearse, took them to church in that service. Well, they couldn't dream longer than a day or two.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember how strict the church was about where they buried people in the cemetery?
Well, usually, those that committed suicide were not supposed to be buried by the church. Of course, they buried them anyhow in a corner somewhere, outside the cemetery.
So they wouldn't put them inside the cemetery walls, huh?
I guess later on, but then I know several of them that were buried outside of the cemetery.
Well, did they put markers on those graves?
They had markers. Of course, now you don't see them. They had a few of them were buried there where our new cemetery is. Used to call it.
When people died around here, the families, did they wear any particular type of clothing to show they were in mourning?
They wore black skirts and a dress, the women clothes.
And what about the men?
And the men, usually around the arm of the sleeve, kind of black.
Armband?
Yeah.
Well, when would you wear that?
Or around the hat, too.
When would you wear that?
Well, you know, the funeral. Maybe a month later, you got some of them.
Oh. You didn't have to wear it longer than that?
So,
it was just up to the person?
The women usually wore a black skirt for a long time. Mm-hmm. After the husband and sister died.
And you did, when someone died, your parents didn't let you go to dances or anything?
Yeah.
What would the parents do to them if they did it?
Scold them, but it didn't do much good.
So you're about 83 years old now. Do you think that it's any different the way the parents bring up the children now than in the old days?
Oh, I think it's different.
How
that do you time, some parents, they punish their children too much. Whipped them, you know, schooled them. Of course, some of them didn't. Now it's a whole lot different. You're not supposed to whip your children anymore. School is different too. Teachers used to whip the kids, you know.
The teachers whipped you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, how many years did you go to school?
I didn't go too long, about 6 years.
And did you go to the public school? You remember who your teachers were?
Oh, well, I had two teachers as long as I was in school.
And who were they?
Sister Mary Fortunata.
Fortunata.
She was when I went to that time, we went to the old school there across the Marines. There was a big room. You know, top. There used to be two rooms on top, too. There they took the wall out between the two rooms. That was the big school. They called the big school. Mm-hmm. The lower two rooms, one was the little school, one was the second school, middle school.
Mm-hmm. So you get older, you just move from one room?
Then I was in little school for 2 years. That Sister Mary was my teacher. So, then we moved to middle school, and she was teaching middle school too for 2 years. Mm-hmm. On the big school, the last 2 years, Sister Priscilla was teaching them.
Okay, were they pretty much alike, these teachers, or not?
Well, Sister Priscilla was strict. Well, they both were pretty strict. Sister Vincent was the teacher at the big school when I was in the little school. She was pretty strict too. But then Sister Mary Fortunato was pretty strict too.
Sister Marcella, how would you describe Sister Marcella?
Well, she was a good teacher.
Did you go to school in English when you started?
English and German.
You had English and German.
1905. I started school. I was 8 years old when I started school. I was supposed to go the year before, but I always cried every morning. I didn't want to go to school. I had to wait until Martha was old enough.
Oh, and then you went with Martha. Okay. You didn't go strictly in German, and they taught you English from the first grade.
English, yeah, English and German.
Okay, before you went to school, did you know how to speak English?
Well, I could speak a little.
You did?
Get along in school, you know, the job listening to the teacher was not German most of the time, too. To the
kids.
Oh. Realization somewhere, like this myself, I think, was out of realization. She could talk with them.
That's really probably good. Why y'all didn't get by with a lot.
All the sermons in the church were German.
Did your parents speak only Alsatian at home, or did they speak English?
Well, they spoke Alsatian. Mm-hmm. Each other, you know, to us too. Most of the time, good ones, but I was speaking English. I could understand English, but I didn't know pretty good. When I was down in school, recess time, everything was Alsatian. Kids, except there were a few of them that couldn't talk Alsatian. Two American kids in there, high school. And the whole town talked Alsatian.
Well, now, did you notice any difference between, or did you get along good with the kids who were like Lutheran and German?
Oh, yes, I'm Lutheran. Hilda and Alma Adder, you know Alma Adder, and her sister Hilda, and her brothers, George and Oscar. I think that the two girls didn't go to any other school in Catholic school. They were just living. They were living there where Adam, Ernest Adam lived.
Oh.
Just across the street.
So they went to the sister school?
Yeah, I don't think they ever went to a public school, the girls, but then later on, I think the boys went. Well, and the Wyblands too. Now, Fritz, the boy, and I, you know, went to Catholic school, but you know, the girls, like Mrs. Holly, and Mrs. Baldwin, and Edna, the youngest one, they went to Catholic school.
Did you know any of the girls that went to the boarding school there that was at Moy?
Oh, yeah.
Now, what was the difference between that school and your school?
It was a girls' school. Sisters, there were a bunch of sisters here, and they had a girls' school. Yeah. Most of them were strange, modern places.
But they
some from around here went to school there too.
But were those just the little girls, or were they?
No, they were pretty big.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever have anything together with that school? Separate.
Common school. I was at the parish school certain months a year, and then I think the last 2 months public school at a paid.
It was called free school.
It was called pay school. So I was sure about that now. Some stayed out then. Didn't want to pay.
So part of the year it was free, and part of the year you had to pay.
Yeah.
Okay, we've had several older people tell us that they didn't go to school all year round because their parents couldn't afford that dollar it cost.
Yeah, that's the last 2 months of the pay school.
Isn't that
then I got home to pick cotton or something like that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And so they used that for an excuse. We didn't have to go to school. So I guess $1 a month. Well, was your father always a farmer too?
Yeah.
And
And y'all
when
just...
When he was younger, I think he helped along. He's always called his land here. He helped his father and the officer. He had an honest handwriting. My grandfather, too.
Well, Beans, your grandfather was involved in the county politics. Were you always interested in politics or not?
He was a year younger than my daddy. When my grandfather bought his land, of course, he had handed his land here. I think he bought his land and sold his feet up and found it. 1867. Of course, then he bought part of it for himself.
Well, I want to thank you, Mr. Kim, for letting me talk to you today.